we don't want to keep you here much longer, but I do want to hear the testimonies, and I want to get them recorded and on the Ustream, because I really believe that people are going to listen to them or watch them later and go, man, I should have stayed for that. I would have liked that experience. And we're going to continue to do this at conferences in Selma. So we kind of want to ignite that faith and hear the testimonies of what happened. So who wants to share what happened in their encounter first? Go ahead. There you go.
Well, I'm Ron, and we went to Walmart, like everybody else did. Mark was standing there counting people when they came in, making sure everybody, all of our people, made it okay. And a guy walked out who I saw the pain on his face. And I talked with him. I just said, how you doing? Are you hurting? And he said, yes. And come to find out, he pulled his shirt up. His pain was about a 7, and his back was fused from basically right here all the way down. And we asked him if we could pray for him. He said, sure. And he gets an injection every 3 months. And he's happy for about a week. And his pain level right then was around a 7. So we walked around the corner and got his son. They'd gone fishing. And we walked around the corner, and I had his son put his hand on the back of his dad. Nice. And we prayed for the pain, et cetera, to go down. We prayed for alignment, proper alignment. We spoke blessing over him. And, well, the first thing I did is ask him to take inventory of where he was and how much movement he had. And so when we finished praying, we asked him if he had any improvement. He was able to bend down a little bit, and he said, yeah, he said the pain's more better. And that's pretty much his words. There was somebody here earlier who had a picture of red and also some diamond earrings, and a red shirt or something like that. And diamonds around it. Yeah, color red with diamonds around it. And when Mark and I got into the car driving back, we realized that the son actually had a red cap on, and he also had some diamond earrings. So we didn't put that together on the front end. We just realized that on the back end. So bottom line is God was faithful. And one thing I like to do is pull other people in, because that way the son, when his dad, he wouldn't let us pray for him anymore. They had somewhere they needed to go. But what's going to be neat is this afternoon when his dad feels better, et cetera, then, you know, we're going to believe God's continuing to heal. So.
Amen. Thank you. Y'all want to share next?
Well, before we went, Cheryl, my wife, had seen a color of blue. And Father Mark explained blue is like revelation or revelatory. It's also royalty. So we're watching for people who are blue. And as soon as we go in, there's a lady limping, very obviously pushing her cart, wearing blue. But we were like, well, let's see. And we do need to get some things. Let's see what happens with the stuff we get. So we go to the totally wrong part of the store to find our stuff. And then heading back to the right place, we run this lady again. And we make eye contact and smile. And so we get her stuff. And now it's like, okay, Lord, we're going to go looking for her. And if we find her, we know that's your will. And we found her pretty easily. And it was just very easy and natural to talk to her, because she turned from her cart. It was with this aggressive limp. I mean, she just dragging her leg. And I said, ma'am, are you in pain? She said, all the time. And on 0 to 10, oh, it's a 12. So Cheryl said, may we pray for healing for you? And she said, I don't believe God can heal me. It takes surgery. But I don't have time for the surgery, because my daughter's a paraplegic, and I've got to take care of her. And the surgery would be 6 months recovery. And she's going on and on. I said, what's your name? I said, Ernestine. And I said, well, ma'am, may we speak blessing into your life. Now, anybody, I mean, a person could say, you know, I don't want you to pray for me, but everybody will say, oh, yeah, I'll take a blessing. So I spoke blessing. I said, I can see you're a loyal, faithful, dependable, you're a woman of integrity, you love your family very much. I see a crown on you, encrusted with jewels. You're a queen in the eyes of God. And I speak blessing over your body. I speak healing. I went ahead and prayed for healing, right? So the blessing, I spoke the blessing, the pain be gone away, that she'd be completely healed to care for her family. And Cheryl said some things too, and she proceeded. Cheryl said, can I put my hand on you? And Cheryl laid hands on her too. So she received it all, and she still walked away in pain, but I think she was encouraged by it. And, I mean, she almost cried when we started saying what we saw in her, the qualities and all that. And as she walked away, I said, "Lord, while you're in the neighborhood, go ahead and heal her daughter of the paraplegic." That would solve a lot of problems, you know. And so anyway, then we're trying to leave the store, and a guy in a motorized scooter comes up beside us. So obviously we had to talk to him. And he's recovering from hip surgery. And I said, "Now," I just started talking. I said, "Now, Jesus, go ahead and heal him quickly and take away his pain." He said, "I received that." And so we prayed that the therapy would go real well and he'd get over his pain from the hip surgery and speedy recovery. And not have to use a scooter anymore. He said, "I received that. I want that." So he received that too. So it was fun. It was good. And we had a good time.
Thank you. Josh?
Well, when we got there, we were with Gail, and I kind of disobeyed and ran off really quick, but we were by the medicine, and I walked around a corner, and I saw a guy just staring at all of the pain medicine, and I know I cheated a little, but... So I walked up to him and I just asked him, I said, "Hey, what kind of pain medicine are you looking for?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just looking for something for my arthritis." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so I just started talking to him about the medicine. And he's like, "Yeah." I told him I was a nurse. And he's like, "Okay." And I just asked him, I was talking to him about it. He was telling me about the medicine. And I said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever prayed for you about it?" And he said, I was like, "About the arthritis specifically?" He said, "No, not really." And I said, "Well, you're a believer, right?" And he said, "Yeah, yeah, I go to church and I've been prayed for just," and I was like, "But never about the arthritis." And he said, "Mm-mm." And so I just asked him, and then by the time I asked him if I could pray for him, the two of them came around the corner and introduced themselves. And so I just, then I asked him, I said, "Does it hurt right?" He said, "It's in my shoulders." And I said, "Does it hurt right now?" And he said, "No, not right now." But he said, "It's going to hurt at some point." And so we just prayed against that. And then when the two of us, we checked out once and then had to get something else. And
with him. What did he say? I said, "Are you from Selma?" And he said, "No, he worked in Selma." And I said, "Where did he work?" And he does like this, thinking he had a Cahaba mental health.
We got to get it recorded.
I said, "Do you work in Selma? Or you live in Selma?" "No, I work in Selma." And I said, "Where do you work?" And he did like this, because you know jobs are hard to come by sometimes in Selma. He did like this. He had on a running shirt, and I was just fixing to say, "Well, I used to run," but he said, "No, oh, I thought it said Cahaba Mental Health." And I said, "Oh, that's a wonderful place. So you work something about the Special Olympics? That's what he's in charge of, the Special Olympics." And I said, "That's why the devil is after your is giving you arthritis, because he doesn't want you to be able to participate in, you know, work with the Special Olympics." So that was, so we commanded Satan away from his body.
And then I walked around the corner. Walked around the corner, and he was right there again. And he shook my hand, and he said, "Thank you, Josh." And he was like, you don't meet people like you every day." And I was like, awesome. I was like, "It's Jesus." And
his
name was Floyd. He was awesome. And then when we checked out of the garden center, there was the woman just at the register, she had a brace band, armband on. And I just asked her, I said, "What's that brace for?" And she said, well, I got surgery on my elbow." And she showed us the scars. And it was cut in two places and broken. We just asked her, I said, "You know, are you in pain right now?" She said, "No, but every time the rain comes," and so I was like, "Oh, yeah." And she had just talked to her coworker about how it was going to rain. It was supposed to rain today. And so I asked her that, and she said, "No, I'm not in pain right now, but it's coming." And so it was interesting, because both the people we prayed for, they said, "We're not in pain now, but it's coming." And so we just declared, you know, spoke against it, and just prayed over her and said that it's not going to hurt when the rain comes.
Amen. As we were praying for her, I was like, she was bagging our stuff up, and God spoke to me and said, you know, she uses that arm to work, and she uses it a lot, and the enemy is trying to keep her from the provision that I want to give her. And so I just spoke to her, and I just declared over that. And I was like, in the name of Jesus, the enemy will no longer hold you back from the provision that the Lord has for you, you know. And we didn't get to, like, sit around and say, is anything healed yet? Because she was busy. But we just believed with her, and she was just really, really blessed by it. And there was a lot of witnesses standing around there just like, whoa, what's going on here, you know? It was just awesome to see all these people in the checkout line going, what are they doing, you know? And just to see the just being witnesses to it, you know? And I'm sure God spoke to them, some of them as well, you know, while we were praying.
To get through with our team, as I was going for a buggy, there was a little lady sitting on the bench with all her buggy filled up waiting. I said, are you waiting for a ride? And she said, I'm waiting for my daughter. And so there was a place to sit down by her, and I didn't see a buggy anyway. So I sat down and said, are you in any pain? And she said, oh, yes, my knee. And I said, I've got two knees. Yes, I understand. And she said, but I forgot to ask her how much pain she was in. But I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. Yes, you can. And I said, do you know Jesus? I do. And so I prayed against the pain in her knee and that the healing would come, because healing was not of the kingdom. Healing was of the devil. And as we got through praying, pain is of the devil. The kingdom does not have pain. And so just as I was finishing up with her, here comes this nice-looking young man, and he's got on this nice black shirt, and it says Jesus in red across it, and some other things about Jesus. And I said, oh, I like your shirt. And he said, oh, thank you. And I said, where did you get it? And he said, where do you go to church around here? And he said, Tabernacle of Praise. And I said, I've been there before. And I said, you're welcome to come to our church anytime. And we talked about that and where he got his shirt. And so it was good. And then by this time, her daughter was there, and she was thanking me for praying for her.
You want to come up?
Yeah. I'm about to say, but I'm going to put a mic on my ears. Always wanted to wear one of those mics.
Testing, testing.
It's working. I think it's working.
1, 2, 3.
You've got a built-in microphone.
I do. I really don't need the microphone. I left with Karen, and it's funny, I was here the whole conference, and I'd never seen Karen. So.
No, she was sitting up
she
here.
Was at front.
Oh, I thought she was telling.
No, she was up front. She and I got in the truck, and we're heading down to the Walmart, and she said, if you don't mind, I just want to sit back and watch. And I said, actually, I really do mind. You're not here to be a spectator.
Where is she now?
She had to leave. She had to go back to Birmingham. So I'll get to that. I'm sharing her testimonies, and unfortunately, I can't share all of them because at one point, some of y'all saw us. We walked right into the garden center, and I saw one of the Walmart workers in the garden center pulling a bandage away from her arm. And I noticed things like that. Since this stuff started, since George and I started praying for people, I noticed things like that. Like many of you notice and have talked about today, a person limping, a bandage, a walker, a crutch, those are all easy indicators. It's just in studying people. So we went up and said, what's wrong with your arm? And we introduced ourselves and then asked her what was going on with her arm, and she had just received a birth control implant. And that grieved my heart. but I asked her, I said, would you be upset if that implant failed? And she said, well, I wouldn't be terribly happy, but all children really are a gift. And I said, yes, they are. And we asked her about her son, and she told us his name, and I quickly looked up his name, and it means a new and bright house. And we started speaking to her about how God was going to make him a peaceful dwelling place for others, and that he had in her still plans to bring out a generation of believers for the Lord. And I think at this point in time, we realize I don't go at people to try and convert them. I really don't. I just, if it goes there, I go with it. But it's not a prerequisite. I've seen Todd White heal people that were atheists openly saying, "Hey, I don't believe what you believe." Well, that's fine. We'll pray for you anyway. And then they get healed, and Todd leaves them to figure it out. You know, they come back to him saying, "I want to know more." You know, it's not, I mean, that's the beautiful thing. It's not a, I don't got to lead them through the four steps in Romans, the Romans road. They just got healed in the name of Jesus. I don't care what they believed before that. Now they've got to contend with this new thing. And there's the guy who just prayed for him. I might want to ask the questions now, because in a minute he's going to walk away. So anyway, we prayed for the lady, and her name is Veronica. And then we went on into the store, and we came across. I was just sort of talking to Karen. You know, it's about what to look for, and we came. And I was walking one way, and I turned around, and she had engaged a lady in a conversation. And I started to go walk back up to her, and then I thought, you know, I'm just going to stand back. And I think the Holy Spirit just said, you know, give her space. She needs to stretch out her wings into her own anointing, into her own calling. She told me before going into the store that years ago she worked in geriatrics with elderly. And I said, that right there, you have a proclivity to that right there. That's your anointing. I don't have that same thing. That's great. That's a wonderful, I started prophesying over there before we ever got in the garden center that she's going to be ministering to people in that arena, the geriatrics arena. Even though she doesn't currently work in that any longer, she sees those types of people. She's drawn to them. And sure enough, she found an elderly woman that was trying to make a buying decision. And when we walked away, I didn't hear all that she said. They did pray together. I saw that. When we walked away, she said, "Now, I'm not exactly sure what I actually might have done for that lady." And I said, "If nothing more, she was struggling to make a buying decision. You helped her make it. That's enough. God can work in that." She said, "I do like the thought that I encouraged." The buying decision that she made was to buy two red baseball caps for her two grandsons. So now when her two grandsons put on that red baseball cap, they're covered in the blood. I thought, that's so cool. That's the stuff. And who knows what's going to happen with the rest of her day. We walked past a lady, y'all probably saw her, a Walmart worker, had a big afro. And I turned around and told her, I said, I love your hair, dude. That is so cool. I love your hair. And I said, and I turned to Karen, and I said, that right there. We've gotten so, we dumb down compliments. Who knows what a compliment filled with God stuff does for a person. We know how a normal compliment stays with us throughout a day. Oh, honey, your dress looks nice. Oh, I love your hair. That can change and brighten your whole morning. But infused with the very presence of the living God, that could reorder their steps for the rest of their life. Who knows? But God. So I was just helping her see that, and then we came across a lady. I've never done this before. It was funny because Father Mark was talking this morning about tattoos, and I've tried before, and I didn't really see that much, which is strange because I'm a graphic designer and I have lots of friends that have tattoos, but I've just never gotten into it at all. But I noticed on this lady's left arm she had a tattoo, and I stopped her. I said, what is that? And I've seen better tattoos, but that wasn't the point. The symbolism that was there on her arm, and that it was on her left arm, and I just heard what that means. That's her lifeline. And then I stopped her and I said, what does that have what does that have to do with? And she said, well, I had a years ago, I put a tattoo on my arm of my name, and it was during a period of my life that I was young and dumb and making bad decisions. And so I said, well, what is it? And she kept trying to hide it from me. I said, Lord, what is this? You know, what's going on here? You drew me to that. I've now taken this step of faith and engaged her about it. What's going on here? And, oh, she's trying to hide it from me. I said, you know, the Lord doesn't want you to feel shame and guilt about that decision. Moreover, what you tried to cover it with, look at it. What you tried to cover it with. Every time you look at it, you see what? She says shame, guilt, condemnation. I said, look at what it is. I said, it's the very heartbeat of your Father God. He loves you. It was a tattoo, I mean a big tattoo, you know, 6 inches across, 7 inches across, of a heart with lace around it and wings coming off the side of it. And intertwined in with the heart was a rose. And Karen and I just ministered to her and told her that we started talking to her about what had she ever prayed to receive Christ. She said, yes, I prayed to receive Christ. And then I felt the Lord prompt me, and I said, have you ever fully surrendered your life to Him? And she said, no, I've not. I've never been baptized. And I said, well, not really the... Have you ever surrendered your life, your all? And she said, no. And so, and then I went a step further and said, have you ever heard God's voice? Have you ever heard Him speak to you? Because that'll break off the guilt and the condemnation in a heartbeat. No pun intended. And she laughed, and we just prayed for her ears to be opened, for her to be able to hear the voice of God for herself. And to be able to, her eyes to be opened for her to see where God was moving on her behalf so she could run and join in. And her name was Leomiela. Keep wanting to call her aluminum. Anyway, Leomiela. And y'all just, if you think about her, pray for her, because if you feel led, I believe that the today, God has reordered her steps to walk with Him in a different way. I spoke over her community, her circle of friends that she runs with, that she is called to be a person who speaks into the lives a word of peace and restoration, not shame and guilt and condemnation, but a peace and restoration into her community. And then we went on from there. And I think it was great for Karen to see. Karen, y'all, is a Baptist. She's a Baptist, and she's been having these experiences that she came here by the leading of a friend who wasn't able to make it herself. And she came anyway, and that was a huge step for her. She was saying to me out in the parking lot, she wanted to come in, but she had to get back. And God's really awakening things in her. And she is not wanting to leave the Baptist church, and I pray she doesn't have to because they need it. Amen. So anyway, it was really exciting. She's the organist at her church, and yet she's having these dreams and visions, and today this thing was awakened in her. And I said, who knows? We got back in the truck, and I said, who knows? That grocery list, those things you thought you had to go buy at the store, might actually be God's new directive. Do you really have to go buy these things? Or do you get to go and pray for people, you know? So anyway, that's it.
Thank you. One of you want to come share?
Well, we kind of broke the rules a little bit because we sort of split up. But it just happened that way. On the way over, there was a car in front of us, and it had a big sticker with an elephant. And with the trunk up, I didn't know that was Alabama, North Carolina, so I'm just... anyway, so I just kept looking at it, and I knew the Lord was saying, that was a sign from Him. So we got inside. I wasn't real sure exactly what was I was supposed to do. All of a sudden, it hit me, go to the home decor. So I told Trish, I said, we got to go to the home decor. So we just started walking around in home decor, and I met with... actually prayed for three ladies, and then I was kind of just standing there. All of a sudden, this lady comes up to me, and she engaged me, and she held out a bracelet that she had on. It had a red elephant with the trunk up on it. And she said, I wish I could find more of these. So I was like, wow, this is it. This is my one, because I prayed for my one last night. I wasn't real sure exactly what the Lord wanted to say to her. And, you know, when somebody engages you, it's like, okay, I'm kind of caught off guard here, because normally, you know, we know before we step up kind of what we're going to do. So I just said, red is the color of blood, and is there any healing that you need today? And she said, no, I've had heart surgery a few years ago, and everything went really well, and now I'm doing pretty good. I said, well, would you mind if I prayed for you? So when I started praying for her, I saw her sitting at her kitchen table having her Bible study. And I just knew that the Lord was so pleased with her. So I just started praying, you know, that the Lord's so pleased with you. I see you sitting at your table and you're having your Bible study. The Lord rejoices over you. And then I knew she had fear. So I just said, there have been angels dispensed for you every time you drive. There's, you know, the Lord goes before you. He's your rear guard. And there have been angels dispensed for you. There's no reason to fear anything. And it just kind of went on for a while. But she hugged me afterwards. And she was just like, I hope I see you again. I said, well, you know, this is Jesus. And we'll see each other again someday. But she was a sweet lady. So it just confirmed that the Lord loves her and is pleased with her.
Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trish, do you wish to hear?
We got split up, and it wasn't intentional, but God already told me that she was to go because God had individuals for her to meet. And it's interesting, mine wasn't about healing. God put on my heart, I have a real burden for African Americans. I always have. I've loved them. I've never taught to be prejudiced. So most of the people I encountered were matriarchs. And I have a burden for matriarchs because we have lost our matriarch, so God's beginning to make me into one for somebody. So I did get to one lady. She was looking for the art, you know, where you could go get material and art. And she was a white lady, older lady, and God just had me lead her to that. And we talked, and I just prayed for her to whatever she's trying to create in art, that God would direct her. But she didn't need any prayer for healing. Well, the next one didn't need any prayer for healing either. But it was all about matriarchs. And God had me bless them, and they have lost their matriarchs. I said, that's because God wants you to be a matriarch now for the younger women. So it was really different for me, but I thank God for it. It was just precious. Oh, a little girl, 3 years old, same age as my granddaughter. I got to tell you that real quick. Like, she was looking for a blue pig. Now, how are you going to find a blue pig? I said, Walmart's definitely going to have a blue pig. So I couldn't find one for her. So God said, sow into her, the matriarch, I'd already talked to her, her grandmother, give her $5, the number of grace, and allow her to find that little blue pig. And I told the little girl, if you can't find the blue pig, God's going to give you something in blue if you want it. But her name was Tatilla. And my grandbaby was Lavella. So the last part of their name but had the LLA in it. So I knew that that was the Lord. And I just loved it. It was wonderful.
Good. George, you want
to? How much do you want me to tell? And would y'all like a turn?
Huh?
Would you like to have a turn, Sharon?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
What to say. Why don't you just go ahead?
I am not very fearful about approaching strangers, but I am about prophetic words, and so I was hoping that today I could take a risk when it came to prophecy. So the easy risk was the guy wearing the Jesus t-shirt with a verse on it that said, I'm not afraid of the gospel, and I told him about a rap group that uses that verse as their verse, and I felt like that might be from the Lord. It might be his, what God wanted him to hear, so that was my first little step of faith. We approached a bunch of strangers, and had some that I thought was going to be an easy score. Like I said, well, the thing about people who stand up all day for their work is they usually have back pain. If you're on your feet all day, And so we approached some Walmart employees and said, you know, excuse me, do you have any back pain? And they didn't, which I like to pretend like I just healed them right there. Like, oh, well, I scared the pain out of their body right there. But one man said, those two ladies over there, they're going to want healing for their back pain. And they didn't. So we had some had to keep walking. Yeah. And we talked to the girl who was selling cell phone plans, and she didn't want prayer for any healing, but we did our best. We prayed for her in some way. And then what's your wife's name?
Tammy
had a vision of somebody wearing red with white belt. A white stripe on her shirt. So apparently everybody in the Selma Walmart had on a red shirt today. We almost prayed for you two. And so I ran up to a woman who was entering the store who had on a Where's Waldo shirt with the red and the white stripes going all the way up. And that didn't count. That didn't exactly fit. But it was just an easy opener to say to a stranger, excuse me, we're on a treasure hunt, and we're looking for somebody with a red shirt and a white sash. And so I went up to her and I said that. I said, you look like you're in a hurry, but is there anything we could pray for you for? And she said, yes, my husband just had a stroke, and you could pray for that. And so we prayed for that. And then Tammy prayed for the woman that she would have strength. When we prayed for his healing, but that Tammy would have strength. No, that this woman would have strength to care for her husband. Do either of y'all want to talk? Because you get to put on this mic. Would you like to talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know what I'd say.
It's just a chance to wear the mic.
Okay, well, we're talking to it.
Tired of talking.
Yeah. Hey, that's cool. let's see. We ended up at the Garden Center. Matt, we were standing in the line there. There's a fella, he had on a t-shirt.
We were totally fake standing in line.
Well,
we
were.
We didn't have anything to buy. We just went and stood in the line.
No, I fake sat in the pharmacy.
Yeah. This guy had on a t-shirt, eat pepper jelly. I thought, well, okay, that's cool, eat pepper jelly. So I asked him about that, and that started up conversation. George is much the better conversationalist, and Tammy is too. We ended up. He went through the checkout line, and we.
Can I take a mic?
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So, he's telling me about how he has this cell phone. He has this home phone that only costs $15 a month, and he said it cut my bill down from $80 down to $15. It's great. You should try it. And I said, did you know that I had my sin bill cut down to zero? That Jesus Christ took my sin tab and he paid it for me. And it was totally just a line, like some slick salesman line. And for the first time in my life, somebody responded to that. And he was like, really? I was like, yeah. You want a zero on your sin bill? He's like, I'd love that. And so I said, well, you could belong to Jesus. All you got to do is give your life up. Right now, you are in charge of your own life. You are your own master. I'm not. Jesus is the master of my life. I gave myself to him. And you could do that. Would you like to belong to Jesus? Yes, I would. And so I'm like, all right, well, you want to do it today? Okay. And so I said, well, I'll meet you on the other side of the checkout. And so we went and stood in the Garden Center, kind of awkwardly waiting, like, this could be really exciting. And so he came out, and we just kind of said those things. Would you like to have your sins forgiven? Jesus died for you. Do you believe that he's the Lord? I do believe. Do you believe that he raised from the dead? I do. And you could be saved. And so,
Hallelujah.
So I said, let me pray for a minute, and then do you want to just make something up and say it to God, or do you want me to say something and you repeat it? He said, you say it and I repeat it. So I led him in the sinner's prayer, and then I said, okay, well, now here's this other thing. You can have God live inside you. Would you like the Holy Spirit? And he said, yeah. So I said, Clay, why don't you do this? And so we laid our hands on him with permission, right?
Permission.
And he said, by the way, that's my pacemaker. You feel it? It has a big old bump on his chest from his pacemaker. He also said, I lost a wife and a child when I was 21, I've had a hard life. He was 32. I said, I'm 32. So Clay prayed for him to receive the Holy Spirit, and we stood there waiting for a minute. I grew up Presbyterian, so we're standing there, and I was like, aren't we done? And then I realized, oh, they're waiting for him to speak in tongues. So I'm like, okay, I'm just wait. And so we waited for a while, and he said he felt really good. He said he felt like a heaviness lifted off of him. We talked about the difference it makes to have God living inside of you, and then we talked about him finding a church that he can get in, and he said he would. And then he asked for, he said, do you want y'all have a card or something you can give me? Which was good, because I didn't want to like pester him and be like, I'm going to be calling you to find out if you're walking with the Lord. So we gave him my card and my number, and he said he would get in a church. And, anything else y'all want to add to that?
He said he'd get in touch with you.
Yeah, he said he'd call me in Birmingham.
Just, and we prophesied over him as well.
Tell about that.
He already had joy on him when we met him. I just saw, you know, just this openness and a joyfulness. Like when George asked him if he wanted to belong to Jesus, he said, yeah, I do. It's just like, really? It's so easy, wasn't it? So, I prophesied over him. I really felt like he had a pastoring call on him, and the hard things that he's experienced in his life, losing a wife and a child when he was 21. And he didn't go into detail, but I mean, that was 11 years ago, and I think he's had some struggles since then. And I said, you know, all the hardness that you've gone through, you know, it's not for nothing, and God's going to use it to bless others. You're going to be able to empathize and care for others and see their needs, and God's going to help you connect the provision with the need and that sort of thing. So I just prayed and blessed that on him.
And he did ask us to pray that God would heal his heart. We did pray for that, and he said, I'd like to be able to support myself or a family.
Yeah.
He wanted to be healed so he could work.
Heal his physical heart.
Raymond and Gloria, which one of you wants to share? Ah, Gloria's
I think you should put it on your
okay.
Put on your ear.
Come on up here and share.
Okay, I guess I'm just going
to... When you hold it down, people tend to blow into it.
Yeah.
And when you put it on your ear, it doesn't make the...
Oh, she's ready to wear it. There she is.
All right. It's always good to go with kids because, you know, kids are bold.
Yeah.
And so we got in there and we are wondering, okay, now where do we start? Like, you know, we're praying. I can't see anything. I can't hear anything. I'm wondering, okay, there are so many people and... We need to, like, figure out, you know, so zero down and just hear from the Lord. And so I told Abigail, you need to pray too. And so we can hear what God wants us. And so we walk by, and she spots a man. And so I didn't see him, but there was a pole between me and her. So she pulls me and says, and I'm like, okay, what did you hear? She says, well, he was on those carts, that the baggy carts in Walmart that some of the people that sit on and drive around. So he was sitting on one of those. And so we walk up to him and we ask him, okay, we introduce ourselves to him. And then we asked him if there's anything he needs prayer for. And so he told us, yes, my knee, his knee is bothering him. It's been bothering him that he had an operation some time ago, and the doctor did it wrong. And so he has to go in, and they need to redo it again. And so he's been in pain, you know, because of that. And I think he mentioned his hip as well. So
before that, he started by saying that he's a head deacon in his church.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that came across as a challenge, like, he knows
Yeah.
He didn't say that he had any pain. He said that he's a head default. So.
Kind of, yes. Wow. Kind of like puts you off a little bit, like, hey, I am spiritual. You know, when someone does give you one of those, you kind of step back a little bit. And then I guess, and Abigail, because she was here listening to, you have to introduce yourself. So she kept jabbing at me and like, you need to ask what to pray for. And she is so loud that the guy, you know, she's whispering, but it's so obvious. So the guy is like, okay, these guys don't even know what they are doing. So anyway, so that's what led me to ask him if he needs prayer for anything. And so he mentioned his knees. And then so we continue, you know, we then he he has the attitude that God is going to heal me when he wants to. And so I felt, I told him, well, God, you know, God can heal you even now. And so I just shared with him that sometimes circumstances or maybe the pain or whatever it is, excuse me, whatever it is about, you know, his experiences that is causing him not to believe that God can heal him then, that the Lord, you know, Jesus' faith supersedes our own faith, our unbelief, you know, that the guy that Jesus had a son that had that issue and the disciples couldn't heal, he told the Lord, help my unbelief. And so we told him, we can stand with you. You can ask the Lord to help your unbelief. And I know that the Lord, he wants, you know, there are body parts in heaven that are waiting for you to claim them. And so we can claim it. And then so he jumps in. And he says, oh, you know, my wife is going on a dialysis. She's on a dialysis, and the pots that they put on her belly got messed up. And so they had to put another one here on her, somewhere over here. And they have to change that too. And so she's going in on Monday for them to put another one on her arm. And so... So he said, okay, you pray for my wife over that. And so we began to pray for him and pray for that. And, you know, I'm learning this journey. And even we are all learning to hear the Lord. And as we continue to pray for him, we had the word that the Lord is not done with him, that God wants to use him in his sphere of influence to do more. And then so he jumped in and he said, oh, yes, I told you, like I said, I'm the head deacon in my church, but we don't have a pastor. And he went on to say what, you know, some issues that his church is going through. And so I said, yes, that was right on. I didn't even know, but the Lord wants to use your latter years to really make an impact in the place where he's put you. And so he had tears. And then as we finished, he told us, the reason I'm crying is because when you put your hands on my knees, I began to feel a warmth shoot up on my knees. And that, I didn't feel any warmth on myself. You know, Mike was saying, you feel some heat. I didn't feel that. But he felt the heat pull up. And I could... Initially, I could tell he had the resistance with believing that God can heal him. And so when that came up, I think his heart was softened and he began to tear up. And that to me was a confirmation from the Lord to him that, excuse me, that he's doing a work in him and he will continue to do a work in him. So I think he's in a Baptist church. Somewhere along this street, I forgot the name of it, and they don't have a pastor, and so you all pray for them. His name is Pete.
Pete and Barbara.
And then we had another lady too. As we walked out of the store, there was an old lady that was sitting there, and Raymond was drawn up. Maybe you share your part.
I think That one is Zechariah, who was more drawn, who brought the conversation, because he started smiling at her, and then as this started warming up, so I felt led to just start a conversation with her, but it was so awkward because I wasn't, it just came up on me, so again, Abigail is right there telling me, introduce yourself. Well, that came by later, but as she also said that she had surgery recently. Yesterday she was in the emergency room, and she has had so many like health issues. And again, she was very receptive, and we prayed over her. And then her family, she had brought her sister to the store, and there was a bunch of nieces, and so they all came by, and some of them were sitting there texting as they waited. So when we got done praying with her and she had tears in her eyes, then Gloria was led to pray for the rest of their family. So there are like four, five of them right there at the entrance of Walmart, so people are having to use the other entrance. It was something, but so Gloria prayed for the rest of the family, but yeah. So I guess the Lord today led us to people who actually had need for healing. Mm-hmm.
Did y'all enjoy hearing testimonies? I hope there'll be others. Did it build your faith?
Yes.
Did it encourage you to go out and do more?
Yes.
Good. Awesome. Well, I just appreciate y'all being bold and going out there and going for it and being willing to come back and to share that testimony. And I'm just going to pray a prayer for you as you go back to your respective places and what you carry with you. So, Heavenly Father, we just come before you with grateful hearts for all that you've done in the last 3 days. And I just ask you to pour out a special measure of your Holy Spirit on these, your faithful, bold warriors that have gone out, that have taken territory for the kingdom, that have made a difference. Father, I pray you'd seal all their prayers. I pray those people that were prayed for, that you would be faithful, as you tell us, to complete what you've started in them, Father. We may never know at this side of heaven. I thank you for that. I thank you for the healings. I thank you for the encouragement. I thank you for the faith that have been built in other Christians as these have been bold and prayed for them. And I pray as they journey back to their homes that you would bless them in great measure, Father, that you would give them visions, that they would see things over people. Even as they're driving, they go, oh, I wish I could stop that person in the car, that you just give them an eager heart, and it would grow more as they approach their homes, that they would just be ready to take this into the community, to take the things that you have stirred up in them, the gifts, the things that have been imparted to them, and they would impact their community, Lord. We pray for revival in each place that they come from. And I just pray, especially as the representation of North Carolina here, I pray especially that you would just fan the flames of revival in North Carolina where they come, fan the flames of revival in Georgia, fan the flames of revival here in Alabama. And I thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all.